The Fearless Podcast, in a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act.
Barry Dyke, welcome back to the Fearless Podcast. How are you doing today, brother?
Great to see you, TD. It's always good to talk to someone from Texas. I think the farther I get away from the East Coast, the Northeast, the more people listen to me. But anyway, who knows?
I represent that fact. But you are our first, I think this is your third appearance on the Fearless Podcast. So every guest on the Fearless Podcast gets a gift. And so let me know what kind of coffee. We have our own organic coffee line. So we have
Dark Roast.
Dark roast. Okay. Dark roast ground. I'll make sure that you get a bag. And I'm really excited to have you on because I was watching Tucker Carlson with my wife, and he had on this fella, Trevor Milton. And the title of his video was How Wall Street and the FBI Colluded to Destroy Trevor Milton. And so we're listening to this thing. Very interesting, very compelling. Interestingly enough, Trevor Milton had simultaneously released a air quotes documentary on this debacle, and that was very compelling as well. But after listening to I'm listening to the interview, and I hear Trevor bring up this term SPAC, and I'm like, SPAC. I'm talking to my wife. I'm like, wait a minute. Like, I've heard this term. I've read a little bit about it, and I know that this is like a huge deal, because all you hear with these new IPOs is like, hey, we've been able to circumvent the whole initial public offering process, which also includes all of the regulatory SEC and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Right. And I've heard about this. Right. And I'm like, and so I ran back to the bedroom and I'm like, I know I've seen this somewhere. And I picked up this book that a really good friend of mine sent me. He sent me this book, and it's right on the cover. Right. And it says How Stock Buybacks, Cryptocurrencies, Unicorns and SPACs Help Destroy American Savings and Retirement Plans. And lo and behold, hey, y'all, if you want a resource, right? Okay. So I'm like, okay, so SPACs, right? So I open it up and it's all numbered out here. I'm like, wow, this is really great, easy resource. And I flip through and I, in alphabetical order, and I turn to page 159. And what do you know? It's Nikola Corp. It's all about Trevor Milton. It's all about Nikola and this scam that's going on to defraud the American public and to subvert and redistribute the wealth of the air quotes stock market, whatever that may be. And what's wild is, like, I watched this interview and then I watched this documentary and then I read a little bit about this SPAC process, and conveniently, you know, Trevor Milton, you know, he had to sell some of his shares and make like $300 or $400 million, you know, in this process. And so he bought the most expensive house in Idaho, I think, the most expensive ranch. Oh, and he bought a house in Turks and Caicos and all this stuff.
and the Gulf Stream.
And I'm like, oh, this poor guy, he's been so brutalized by Wall Street and the FBI. And I have a theory. I have a theory that Trevor Milton is getting ready to pitch another, you know, groundbreaking idea here that needs public support and everything. But the good thing is that miraculously somehow President Trump heard about his plight and was able to come in and exonerate him. And but I thought, what a perfect time to talk about SPACs, you know.
And you know, we actually, I checked that out on ChatGPT, whatever. And you know, thank God, you know, That's after Milton gave him like 1 to 2, somewhere between 1 and 3 million of donation to his campaign.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, and you know the you know, I like the orange haired man, but yeah, he's got dollar signs all over him, and you know, and obviously, you know, Tucker Carlson, you know, is a big supporter of him, and I, but it's repugnant, TD, you know, and the thing is that we still don't know if this Nikola truck ever worked. And I'm listening to it, and you know, and I like Carlson, okay, but when I saw this, I said, I can't listen to this because I know what's behind this stuff.
Yep.
I mean, this is another freaking scam from Wall Street. They used to call these blind pools in the 1920s, where it goes to these investors like I'm some guy like J.P. Morgan or someone like that. Level, if you will, and say, we're going to give you a bunch of money and you don't find a company to buy and you go buy a company. And that's a SPAC.
Yeah.
And the people, the insiders, investors, they're going to get a 20% rate of return kicker on the deal. And so they make a crap load of money. And now the whole thing with the whole thing with the Nikola was that it was valued. Was it Nikola? One of those, or so many of them went down, or Lordstown. These companies are valued worth more than General Motors.
Now, yeah, like five times.
Yeah, we still don't know if Nikola, if this whole truck, this is the one where they found going down downhill, drifting down a hill in Utah, or whatever.
Yep.
And we still don't know if it works or not.
Well, so a little bit of my background. Right out of college, I was a financial advisor. I was a junior partner at a really large, very well-known whatever. And so I had a lot of experience in that. And while working there, I saw a lot of shenanigans and chicanery inside mutual funds doing Morningstar Principia Pro portfolio evaluations that runs the Monte Carlo, you know, and all that stuff. And so I saw that. So after I left that, I got into construction and I got asked to come look at a beach house. And there was this young kid. He bought this beach house from a custom builder. This house was opulently tricked out, you know, 6 or 7,000 square feet. And he was like, yeah, man, I'm going to remodel the garage. I'm going to put a car stackers in here. And so I can stack my 6 cars, right? And all this stuff. And I'm like, hey, man, you mind me asking you, like, what do you do? What do you do for a living? And he said, I'm a bond trader. Okay. I'm like, oh, you're a bond trader? And so we continued to have this conversation on and off as I would visit. And what I found out is that he was trading the mortgage. He was continuing to trade mortgage-backed securities, right? Yeah. And this was in 08 after Bush Jr., you know, they halted that $14 trillion market. He said, you know, this is responsible for destroying our economy, so we need to halt that. And I was like, yeah, dude, but I thought they like did away with all that stuff. And he was like, well, yeah, they did for like a couple of weeks, but you know, there's $14 trillion bucks in there and that can't just go away. You know, like the guys that have their money in there, that they're not cool with that, you know? And so basically he kind of peeled the curtain back on that. And I was like, you know, the public perception is this thing was terrible. It destroyed the market. So we stopped it. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, it kept right on going. And what I see this whole SPAC scheme is just it's that mortgage back thing, like times the market. Like it's like, you know, before it was just involving packaging up a bunch of fake mortgages or triple or quintuple packaging up all this fake paper. And now they've figured out a way to do that with the market while simultaneously circumventing all of the regulations that are there to protect us plebs.
Yeah. TD, you're spot on this, you know, and it's actually, you know, I love this country, you know, it's much worse. And that's just my opinion, okay? But when you look at what they're doing to people's retirement savings now, and, you know, and how they want to stuff private equity and private credit and cryptos into 401ks. I mean, if I asked 100 people on the street how their 401k really works, and if we found one or two who really knew what was going on within their 401k, that we'd be lucky. But so Trump essentially is rewarding a lot of the people who got him elected, and now they're putting crypto, which. And if you read this, you know, this book of mine, you know, and again, I back this up, is the, Pew Research did a research on this. 75% of the population in America does not understand cryptos. So this stuff is being stuffed into people's retirement plans. Now, this is gross. The first thing what Trump is going to do is going to sign a sign off to the Department of Labor of something, some kind of nonsense, and then they're going to see which is you know, the rules of the road, if you will. But this is not going to end well, you know. And you know, again, they're screwing the middle class. They're hauling it out. Okay, they're doing other people's money, and no one's talking about it. And as I say, as much as I like Tucker Carlson, and I do like him a lot, I mean, he's living in a bubble. I mean. Because this whole thing with Trevor Milton, okay, I couldn't watch it. I couldn't listen to it because I knew it was behind it.
Propaganda.
It's propaganda, okay? And as I say, now, if people don't believe me, well, this is because I knew and I were going to be talking this morning, okay? I said, look it. This stuff is crazy. You don't believe me? Okay, for all your listeners out there, Google this one, Desktop Metal, all right? This was another one. It was backed by all these, you know, BMW and General Electric and you name it. Okay, they went bankrupt this month. Another SPAC. Okay, another one which went bankrupt.
But Barry, the stock market is at an all-time high, and that obviously clearly represents our economy. I mean, everything's great.
No, actually, you know, it's a good friend of mine who's my IT guy, and he and I said, you know, you're right. When you look at it's all a reflection of the money supply. So, in other words, as you increase the money supply, TD, and you know this because you have a background in finance, okay? It's really kind of frightening, all right? But I have this in the book, and this is not crazy. I'm not a conspiracy guy, but if you look at the increase of the money supply by the Fed. The S&P goes up. You increase the money supply. It's not rocket scientists, okay? The more money they print, the more inflation we have, but it pushes the market up. And so we're going to continue to see this. And you get it, okay? So it's really simple. They print more money, the market goes up. And if you're a billionaire, or you know, if you're even a 10 million or 5 million, if you just stay in the bloody market in the S&P 500, okay, all due respect, your money goes up. Now the problem is that most people don't have any money,
right?
So there really is no savings, and in
the new America, Trevor Milton is now a victim, a billionaire victim. You know, and this is really fascinating. Like, I'm supposed to watch this and watch the documentary and feel sorry for him as he can, you know, has multiple multi-million-dollar properties and he's been persecuted, but simultaneously, like, was able to aggrandize himself. And it's just, and this is how they're doing it. They're taking the market, they're hyperinflating it, and then they're extracting the value. And the guys like Trevor Milton and Donald Trump, they continue to get wealthier and wealthier. Meanwhile, they've extracted all the value from all the 401ks. You know, it's Dave Ramsey all over again. It's buy term, invest the difference. You need the rate of the return of the market. So don't worry about contracts. Don't worry about fixed income, you know, because those are for losers and suckers. You know, those contractual things like whole life policies and all that stuff, you know, those are for losers and suckers, because what you need to do is buy term, invest the difference in the market. It. And this way you can monetize BlackRock so they can buy the world. And, you know, and the rest of us are left to like, wow, what happened? Like, I did what they told me to do.
Yeah. And it's gotten really repugnant, you know, this is kind of give you a little story, but it's going to be in my next book, but this is all true. And private equity, as you know, it's just a huge, incomprehensible force in Wall Street now. Private equity, which is leveraged buyers, we knew that the corporate takeovers in the 1980s was a cottage industry. Now it's kind of like the main fair TD. And this past week, Blackstone, who's the giant in private equity, announced they spent $11 million alone to protect Stephen Schwarzman, the CEO. That was the security budget, just to protect him alone. And people don't believe me, check the regulatory filings, all right? Now, Schwarzman made, and I'm kind of giving you a taste, okay, which in 2022, he made $1.27 billion with a B. Repeat that, okay, $1.27 billion, all right? And most of this was taxed at capital gains rates or dividend rates, okay? And I'm making this, I wouldn't put any of this stuff down, but I checked and I rechecked and they checked it again. So we made $1.27 billion, okay, in 2022. And they disclose this, the company discloses in February 23. The same freaking week, TD, it was disclosed that a Blackstone private equity portfolio company, Packer Sanitation Systems Services, okay, which cleaned slaughterhouse equipment, paid a $1.5 million fine for employing underage children between 13 and 17. I'm sorry, dude. And so the week that Schwarzman made $1.27 billion, they get fined $1.5 million. But this week, it was disclosed by Blackstone. They paid over $11 million just to protect him for security services. So what's $1.5 million to someone made $1.27 billion? Now, the tragedy of this is that roughly $81 million of that $1.27 billion in compensation TD was actually from the dividend they took out from this slaughterhouse cleaning business. Couldn't make this up. So this is what's going to be in the next book. I just want to throw that out there. But so this is how bad it is, you know?
Yeah, and it's just a absolute, you know, and this is why we talk a lot about, you know, because of my experiences within the financial planning world and in the market. I got out in 08 and then, you know, we kind of moved. In 2014, we relocated to Texas and we restarted our whole life from scratch. And as we started to improve our financial situation, you know, I'm like, well, what can we do? I am not going to traditionally invest in anything. I have lost all faith in this super gigantic Ponzi scheme. So we started buying real assets, real estate, dirt, infrastructure, tractors, greenhouse, different things, you know, to structure our life around. And then when we kind of like had bought all that stuff, I started to accumulate cash. And then I'm like, well, what do I do now? Like, because, you know, the dollar value of this is being eroded at such a rapid pace. Like, I can't let this money sit in the bank. And that when a a really good friend of mine now that I didn't know reached out to me. He sent me an email, and that's when he introduced me to the infinite banking concept and these different things. And I started implementing and practicing that. And there's so much peace in that when you're dealing with contracts, when you're dealing with known variables, contractual commitments, right? And you're outside of this, you're parallel to this system that is all it's doing is extracting your wealth, eroding your buying power. And the people, the general public, are completely financing their own demise. They are funding the machine that is extracting all of their wealth, and it's paying Blackstone CEO like $1 billion. And then he has it structured in such a way that he pays minimal to no taxes. He probably even gets to like deduct the fines he pays.
Oh, they do. They do. That is
cost of business.
They do. TD. It's a deductible expense. So they spend $500,000, $1.5 million, write it off. I mean, and the whole thing is that people don't believe me. Yeah, Schwarzman owns 19% of the company. So when he gets to, he gets all like that $81 million in dividend. I can't comprehend it. Okay, I could not sleep at night. But this is so we get the Pirates of Manhattan still running the show, and the sad thing is that we're the top economy in the world, but retirement actually in this book TD, okay, we're number 22 in the top 30. You know what we've slipped to? 29.
Wow, that was quick.
That was quick. So we're sandwiched between Saudi Arabia and Poland or something like that. And so even Mexico, now you're in Texas, so you're right on the border. Mexico has a better retirement system rating than the U.S., which I find it hard to believe. But the best systems are Israel and Iceland and the Netherlands. Netherlands is always the top one, always. And Norway. And the thing is that the reason why their retirement system is much better because they're based upon guaranteed income or guarantees and contractual guarantees. Matter of fact, if you have they all have these 401ks, they're all Canada's got them and the Europe's got them. They're all the same. The defined contribution plans. You call them what you will, but they're all the same somewhat at the end of the day.
Yeah. And we talked about this before about the shift when they went from defined benefit to defined contribution, and that's when they made the shift and started eroding the money, the capitalist system. That's when they co-opted it. And I keep people ask me, like, what do you think and where should I put my money? And I talk to them, and I say, look, I've been through 3 downturns, 99. I was there when the stock market with all the tech, pet.com and all that stuff. And then I was in 08 when all the real estate stuff happened. And I'm like, look, this next one, this bubble is so purposely hyperinflated. It's going to make 08 look like a speed bump compared to what's coming. And I mean, at a minimum, I would not have any dollars in the market. And so people are like, well, if you can't invest in the stock market, your only other option is what, a CD or something like that. And I'm like, well, that doesn't work either. And, so you need to educate yourself. The incredible thing is that people will educate themselves to get a job and even be a high performer and create a large annual income, but they won't take the time to educate themselves. Well, I listened to Dave Ramsey, and Dave Ramsey said, I'm a sucker if I am not buying term and investing the difference in a type C-share or a non-loaded index fund. I'm like, yeah, do you see what those funds are invested in? I don't care if you don't pay a load or not. You're buying all the stuff that's going to implode.
Yeah, yeah. And the funny thing is that before he died, because of writing the books I've done, TD, I became friends with Jack Bogle, the founder of Vanguard, and he really liked the research I was doing about retirement income. The thing is that even he, before he died, said if everything goes to indexing, we're in a heap of trouble. Heartbreaking, but even Vanguard is embracing the private equity model. When I started asking Jack Bogle about this, because I knew about this maybe 6, 7, 8 years ago, I said, Jack, why are you guys getting into private equity? And then he went dark on me. And then I died. I was 18 or something like that. But a good guy. But the thing is that it is so rapacious. And it's really, I call it the asset management industrial complex. Eisenhower called the military industrial complex. I call it the asset management industrial complex. And so what you have these giant asset managers and they feed off of, primarily the pension plan funds. Like, and you're in Texas, the big ones are the teachers' retirement system in Texas. That's a big one, okay? But a lot of them are pretty stupid. And they're losing billions of people's money, okay. But the thing is, the actual teachers are the public employees who are getting an annuity, so they don't have to worry about it. So what has happened is private equity essentially got these guys are up to their freaking necks in private equity. So now they're going after 401k plans, and what have you.
They shift to private equity because that's where the return is, and the way and the reason that private equity can create the return that they do is they take other people's money, they buy hyperinflated assets with the intention of popping and destroying the asset and extracting the profit. You know, that's exactly what happened to Nikola. Hyperinflate it, bring it to market, make it worth 4 times more than General Motors, and they've never produced a sellable product, right? And then you can extract all the wealth, and then Trevor Milton can play the victim at billionaire status and has, cashed in, and private equity got all of the assets and liquidated it for pennies on the dollar. What do they care? They're not spending their money.
It's not their money. And that's the whole thing. And it was Brian, actually, that's one of the first quote in this book here, The Retirement Ruse. It was Louis Brandeis who wrote the book, Other People's Money, in 1914. This is what he said. It's just like, should be burned to everyone's mind in America. Said this in 1914, you know what I mean? Said the power and growth, the power of our financial oligarchs comes from wielding the savings and quick capital of others.
Yep.
I.e. 401k or pension funds. And nothing's changed. Said it 100 years ago. So this is what we have. We got we got the new oligarchs, which are private equity, okay? They bankrupt companies left and right. They'll dump the pension obligations onto the PBGC, which screws the pensions for the other people. They make most of the money, 70% of all money worldwide, and I've checked this out, according to the Federal Reserve and the whole thing, so I wouldn't say any of this stuff unless you could verify it. 70% of all the money for private equity comes from public pension funds, which is the dumbest money there is. Okay. Now, the biggest pools, TD, are, California always lead the stuff. CalPERS and CalSTRS, those are the two biggest. Between those two pension funds alone, it's about $1 trillion, TD. But then you got, state of Texas and New York and all these other states. And that's been the feeding frenzy. So this is where all these – now, this is the irony of the whole thing. So all these private equity guys, they're all being financed off the back of public pensions.
Yeah.
And the public pensions are being funded by guys like you and me. and no one knows it. But it's right there. I mean, it's right there. I mean,
the other thing that just struck me last week is, you know, and I haven't watched like mainstream news in probably a decade, you know, and that goes for MSNBC and Fox and all of them, right? But just exactly how all of those new, air quotes, news outlets are propaganda every time. This is what I saw in the Nikola documentary that was...
Is there actually a documentary on him?
Yes. Yeah. He has his own YouTube channel that only has like 9,000 subs, and his documentary in less than a month got 28 million.
That's got to be bots.
Yeah, it's all bots. It's all bots.
It's got to be bots.
It's all bots. And what's wild is if you watch this documentary, they do the montage, right, of Jim Cramer. Oh, Nikola's great. You know, oh, this is so good. And all these financial talking heads like, this is so awesome. Pump, 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 right? Pop. And then they're like, oh, this is terrible.
It was supposed to work off of hydrogen, right?
And supposedly
it never worked. I don't think it ever worked, did it?
Supposedly they say it actually worked. Supposedly. And regardless, you know what? It's worse if it did work. The worst part about it is if it actually did work, because they popped it on purpose. Oh, why would they do that? You know, if this actually worked, this would become a $1 trillion company. And that's a possibility, right? It's actually, if the product was real, it's even worse. It makes the whole entire story worse. And it just proves that the whole entire system is completely rigged and completely co-opted. And they're showing how the FBI colluded with Wall Street to do it. And it shows you that they're all in on it.
Yeah. Who brought them down? Hindenburg Research, I think it was.
Yes. How ironic. Hindenburg yeah. Research.
And those guys are kind of brave. I don't believe, you know, they know. I believe more them more than Nikola. I mean, really, Nikola.
And they made a ton of money bringing them down, and now they are no longer in existence. Hindenburg's closed down too, which is interesting. You know, it's all very interesting. You know, it's like.
And in the meantime, you know, 67% of the population where they can't afford $1,000 or whatever. So yeah. it's fun and games, and you know, and it's very sad about Tucker Carlson, because he actually had Richard Werner. I don't know if you saw him the other day on he's a professor on central banking.
Yes, yeah, I started to watch that. That was great. You know,
that was freaking awesome. I mean, I said, matter of fact, I sent him an email. I said, you did the best job of anyone talking about central banking system, because the reason why I thought he did a great job, because he talked about Japan. I start the next book about the collapses of the stock market in Japan.
Well, what else was beautiful about what he did is he showed you, he's like, look, here's a solution. If we decentralize this thing, right? All we have to do is decentralize this thing, and the market, it all corrects itself. It's a self-regulating. If we decentralize and deregulate, you know, and Trump and these system people are great about talking about that in theory, but he's talking about it in reality. Like, look, we can decentralize this, allow the market to function and operate the way it's supposed to, allow arbitrage to work the way that it was naturally designed to do, it would work. But the problem is the regulators, right? The regulators and the governments and the bureaucrats and the technocrats, they completely work against, they use the regulation as the tool to make the regulation unnecessary, which is why SPACs can go around all the IPO regulations to hyperinflate. And then you got the talking heads like Jim Cramer that pump it up, and they pump it up and then they pop it and then they say it's terrible. Like, you don't get to do, you're a professional. You're supposed to know what you're talking about, and you do no research and you pump this thing up and then you're like, oh, and oh, this one guy was bad. You know, there's always, it's always the lone gunman, you know, it's,
you know, and I talk about this in the next book. Do you know that meat is exempt from any regulation as long as it's considered general content?
Yep.
If I say, I can talk in the podcast, whatever, but if I say something, even on this program or whatever, which is not legit or whatever, someone can come after my ass. And because I've written the books, okay, I have been audited a bunch of times, but I've always said, which has been honest and true. But so the meeting gets an exemption. Like Kramer says, you know, Bear Stearns is fine. You know, it's silly to get out of Bear Stearns. And you know what he said about Silicon Valley Bank when they collapsed in 2023? It's still priced low at 305 a share. You know,
oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah. So this is, and then I was very, very deeply saddened about, I couldn't listen to Carlson's stuff. When I said Trevor Milton, I'm sorry, man. But conversely, he also had, the new Republican guy. He actually is, he's
Massey or,
who's the guy? He's Charlie Kirk.
Yeah.
He had Charlie Kirk on. And, you know, Charlie Kirk, again, on Carlson's show, he kind of nailed it. He said the problems are economic.
Yep.
So he did a really good job with Charlie Kirk and with Richard Werner on the Central Money, but on Nicola and Milton, I really
like Tucker a lot, but he comes across as a very normal, regular, like average guy, but he is worth $500 million.
Yeah, we it's hard to believe. I mean, he was making $20 million a year at Fox, or $20-25 million a year.
And he's an heir, I think it's of the Tyson fortune. So, you know, all of his money came from Tyson. So, you know, obviously he didn't just grow up privileged. I mean, he is worth $500 million.
Was he tied to Tyson?
Yes, I think it was Tyson. Yeah.
Yeah. One of those, I still like what he's doing. Mr. Carlson, go out there and it's he has a great, but also I find out one of his advertisers, believe it or not, is tied into private equity. He doesn't even know it.
Sure.
So I'll tell right. it, you know, and I, you know, so I've researched this. I can't believe this, you know, because mostly as you know, he has some pretty good stuff. But then one of them is he's got a private equity backed sponsor. And he doesn't even know it.
Yeah. And they've taken over everything, you know, so the way, and that's how they're going to control everybody is like, well, listen, eventually when you say the wrong thing that we don't want you to say, we're just going to pull the purse strings, you know, and then you're either going to rebrand and reboot or fall in line. Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is that, you know, and the people who are backing on Tucker Carlson shows, it's actually connected to the Los Angeles Dodgers and Chelsea FC football club, if you can believe it.
Wow. Check that. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he could make this up. I mean, but thank you, God, for Google and ChatGPT. Because looking at this space so long now, you know, it's that I can intuitively, figure some of this stuff out, but then you got to verify this stuff. You can't lie. You
know? Well, and that's what I think is the beautiful part of it, right? Is this episode comes on and I'm listening to it. And then that's why you got to read, you know, you got to read and you got to find documented resources. And that's exactly what happened. I'm like, wait a minute, SPAC. And I'm like, and then I go get the book and it's literally enumerated in there. And why you do such a good work is like, I'm not that smart. Okay. I don't pretend to be like,
I'm not either
intelligent or anything, but you put it in here in alphabetical order. It's so perfectly like easy to find. You know what I mean? That the problem with a lot of things is there's a lot of great information out there. And a lot of times you have to dig for it. You know what I mean? Like, oh, it's on the footnote on page 489, you know, and you're like, well, man, but here, like I heard the term, I looked up the term and then I was able to just look. I mean, I found it in less than a minute, and it's great to have information, but if it's not organized in such a way where you can readily access it in a real way, it's worthless until you can find it.
Yeah. And I started with it, you know, and then a friend of mine, Catherine Austin Fitz, she started writing about it, and I had been following her, and she's an old friend, but, and then there was another, investment banker was following this back. So I just started, and I said, this is a bubble, man. And, so I just ran with it. And the funny thing is that, and I just for your show, cause we thank you for airing this, and cause everyone should know about this crap. The SPAC, I mean, you know, since I finished this book, okay, it hasn't even been out a year, okay?
Right.
Okay. Since I finished the book, listen to this, TD, there was another SPAC called Promiscuous SPAC. That went public in a SPAC in May of 22, went bankrupt in May of 24. Another one, BurgerFi, which was sponsored by private equity Cal Catterson. They went bankrupt in September 24. CareMax.
Barry, we had a BurgerFi right here. Within 30 minutes of me. It went up. I don't know if it was ever opened. I don't think it ever opened its doors. It went up. The signage went up. I'm like, oh, I'm a burger guy. You know, I'm like, BurgerFi, huh? Wonder what that's all about. It never opened.
It was a private equity backed SPAC by L. Catterson out of Connecticut. Yeah. They went bankrupt in September 11th, 2024. Another one, CareMax. And what they do too is are you familiar with their reverse splits, TD? Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, CareMax, they did a 30-1 reverse split in January 2024. And they went public in a SPAC in 21, and they went bankrupt in November. Okay. Now these are just
extract pop. Yeah.
Okay. Another one was called a digital media SPAC, an IPO of Clarivest. They went public in July of 2020, and they went bankrupt last September. Now here's the big one, Fisker. Remember the electric car mm-hmm. company?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That went public in a SPAC backed by private equity, Apollo Global Management. They went, they bought, went public in October of 2020, and they went bankrupt last May. All right. Now, the irony of the whole thing, Henrik Fisker, when he went public, the company was valued like $1 billion. So he bought like a $30 million home in Los Angeles. So when it went bankrupt, TD, his house was worth more than the company.
And he got to keep the house. That's weird. That's almost like he planned it. But this is what I'm like. So the smartest guys in the room, right? The money managers, the private equities, the big return guys, they find these great companies that are so profitable that they SPAC them to the market, and then they go bankrupt in a cup. So the smart guys get a hold. So the dumb guys run them, right? And they're supposedly have all this value. And then the smartest guys get a hold of them and they go bankrupt.
Yeah, it's tragic. I mean, it's just, another one, Richard Branson, mm-hmm. you know, Mr. Sir Richard. Okay, excuse me. Yeah. Sir Richard Branson, okay. Yeah, what he had was a Virgin Galactic, Virgin Orbit,
mm-hmm.
and Virgin Galactic. One of them, Virgin, that was the one that where the spacecraft hung from the planet. That one has already gone bankrupt. They went public in a SPAC. And then the other one, Virgin Galactic, went bankrupt. It hasn't there, but they did a reverse split of 20 to 1. They're hanging in there. And then Branson did a balloon company with Tony Robbins. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They went bankrupt. And then, then there's another one. Here's another one. Desktop Metal. And as I say, Wag Labs, the dog service. I mean, an app for a dog. It was valued at $650 million, TD. $650 million. And it went bankrupt.
Pet.com. It's pet.com.
The ticker on it was NASDAQ. It was PET. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Wags.
Yeah. They rebrand and they do the same stuff over and over again. So I guess the question is, right, Barry? So you're telling me the stock market's fake, right? And you're telling me it's just a way to extract wealth. So what are people to do? Like, what is now? Obviously, okay, caveat. You know, I'm a hillbilly redneck. I'm almost borderline retarded. Okay, so take whatever I say with a grain of salt. But and obviously, this is not investment advice. Consult a financial professional. Yeah, but what would you do? What would you do, Barry? I mean.
Well, you know, the whole thing is, you know, I call it my five S, and it's not just about money. I tell people my five S, essentially my faith is the most important thing in my life. Then my family. Then my friends. I couldn't do anything without friends like you or other people. You know what I mean? And my belief in God, and I'm a Christian. And then, essentially my family. And then, thirdly, my friends. Then physical fitness, I think, comes after that, because if you're not physically fit, and then finances. But I think really is advice in learning how to save versus, see, everything's all built on debt.
Yep.
And it's gross and it's grotesque. When I see these companies like Klarna, where companies like Sequoia dump all these hundreds of millions of dollars into this crap. Okay. And it's like, buy now, suffer later. They call it buy now, pay later. I call it buy now, suffer later. It's all built upon debt.
Yeah.
Okay. A money they create out of thin air. And the thing is that I think really learning how to save first, because there's a major difference.
That's not sexy. That's not sexy. And that takes a lot of time.
Yeah. And discipline. If you want to be a disciple, you got to be disciplined.
Yeah.
You got to be disciplined in your habits.
Yep.
And people say, how do you write a book? Well, it's because I work on it every day, and I go to the gym every day, or I work out, okay, or I pray every day. So, discipline, obviously, the discipline of savings, follow your heart. God's blessed everybody in some way, whether it be a good teacher or carpenter or a rancher or, whatever. I mean, so follow your heart on that stuff. And, be grateful for what you have. I think you got to show gratitude too. But start listening. When you really understand banking, it's really kind of a Thomas Edison said, if people really understood the banking system, the Federal Reserve, I have no doubt there'd be
a revolution.
It was actually Henry Ford said, if people actually knew what was really going on in the Federal Reserve and banks, but I have no doubt there'd be revolution in the streets by tomorrow morning.
Yeah. That's what changed so much for me. I read R. Nelson Nash's book, Becoming Your Own Banker. And it's just like he says, there's so much peace when you are saving and capitalizing. And that's what we're practicing as a family, because the other thing that people don't want to look at or think about is, you have to have a very long-term mindset. And what it's the opposite of debt, right? Debt is instant gratification. It's all these new Klarna, the Klarna,
firm,
Yeah. This is all crap. like This is all like digital financing that doesn't even happen at a bank, right? Even though there is no reserve, right? Even though there is no reserve, like it's this new, it's just another new debt bubble where you can finance your stick of bubble gum that you buy on Amazon, you know, with four easy
finance
payments.
Finance a pizza? I mean, what are we got? Crazy? Financing a pizza? Yeah. But that's what Wall Street wants to ram down our throat.
Yep.
And guess what? They're winning.
Yeah, they are winning. And the reality is, you know, it's always going to be, you have to observe the masses and do the opposite. You're going to be different. You're going to be weird. You're not going to be doing what Dave Ramsey and Susie Orman recommend that you do. And you're going to have to say, well, yeah, but Dave Ramsey says buy term and invest the difference, right? Well, yeah, that's because Dave Ramsey gets paid to say that. He makes millions of dollars saying that. And of course, he's going to, even though his entire thing is around savings, right? But he just doesn't understand. Well, no, he understands. Like, he understands the concept. He understands the principles of it. He just openly refuses to acknowledge the power of it, right? And the leverage of it and the peace that comes with it when you start doing these things and then teaching your children, right, to do that, so that you're actually building a system that when you do accumulate capital, you know, it doesn't disappear in the next generation. Because if you don't have a system that has the capacity to continue to accumulate your savings, you're spinning your wheels. You're not going anywhere, and it's not going to outlive or outlast you. And I mean, that's why when we have all these great tariffs and all this doge, you know, and we're creating all this revenue, we still need to raise the debt ceiling $2 or $3 trillion, you know, because it's all about debt. And the way we fix stuff is debt.
Yeah, if you study history, it never ends well. I mean, you study the Roman Empire, you study the Spanish Empire, the Ottoman Empire, the Dutch Empire. It's all the same things, TD. It's always about excessive debt, debasement of the currency, the rise of the elites, and multiple wars. It's nothing in history drains a country's treasury like wars. You know?
Yeah, and everybody wants to be all cryptoed crazy and everything, but as soon as these institutions got involved, I mean, if they weren't already involved, and as soon as the government is going to have some kind of stable coin, that's when you know, like, dude, they're already rigged. That's already rigged. Like, that system is already rigged. Like, that's not a safe haven.
Yeah, matter of fact, I'll kind of let you let's see. So, this is a true story, and the funny thing is, you know, we're talking from, it's in this book, by the way. You know, the really weird thing is that I didn't even realize the guy who started this thing actually lives about a mile up the seacoast from where I'm at. Okay, this is a true story. There's a company called Celsius Network, which was I've never heard of them. It was a crypto lending cunt. I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. Lending? I mean, we're lending fake crap. I mean, so, anyway, so. So, but anyhow, there was a business built on this, and it was funded, major funding was Westcap, which is a private equity firm by a guy who was a Blackstone guy, who was also he was also the CFO of Airbnb. Okay. So people, he made all of the money doing that. And he set up his own private equity firm called Westcap. And he get the Canadian Caisse de dépôt de placement, the Quebec pension plan, to invest $400 million into Celsius Network, okay, which is a not cryptocurrency, but a lending cryptocurrency company. And guess what happened to them?
They went bankrupt.
But the guy right up the street, okay, he has a three-house compound on the ocean. It's probably worth $30, $40 million, okay? And my point is that, and they're trying to feed this stuff to people, you know. So, So I don't know if they went public via SPAC, but it's all the same. But now, and as soon as they pushed the, it was in, what are we, 25 now, as soon as they pushed ETFs that were allowed to hold crypto, Blackstone and Fidelity pushed that through. I said, as soon as they push that through, it's going to go up, and this has been on a tear ever since. So
that's when it went up. That's when it took off. Yeah,
you know. So it's so real stuff is out, but yeah. So I think really for people out there, really, you know, learn how to save versus, you know, first. Okay, I'm not against vesting. Okay, because you know you have to be full. You have to be almost participated, you know, to a certain extent if you're going to be just an S&P 500. Because that's one of the things which I've learned. Some people I know were worth hundreds of millions of dollars, and just because they're in the freaking market, TD, their wealth goes up, and they don't have to do anything.
Yeah,
you know. So, but that's not the 98% of the population. It's tragic. the Federal Reserve documented that 10% of the population owns 90% of the stock market wealth. And out of that 10%, the top 1% has 53%.
Wow.
So it's a rigged game. And again, I'm not against the market, but if you look at the you know, if you have a lot of money, you're going to get really, really rich. And it's something out of the Bible.
You know? Well, and the thing is if you have capital and you're capitalized, there are lots of alternative investments that have much lower risk. Okay. And you don't need a super sexy rate of return because as soon as you mitigate the risk, your return, the longevity of your return is stabilized. You know, it's just like, look, when everybody that wants to tout like average rate of return, well, you know, and we've talked about that before, you know, and you can show an average rate of return, but if your holding was in a 3-year period, you could have lost 50%, even though you're showing an average rate of return of 12%.
Yeah, and actually, then I bring in any individual picking stocks is a great guy, economist out of, and I bring this into the next book by Henry Bessenbinder out of the University of Arizona. And he's looked at stocks going from like 1926 to like 2019 or something like that. And it is so hard. I mean, most of them don't even beat a 1-year treasury bill. But we're still a great country, but you know, for the majority of the population, our retirement systems are horrific.
So now you mentioned the next book. What's the next book, Bear?
It's called Guaranteed Income 2, and it's going to be about income, you know, why we're at. And I'm using all actually the government figures, actually, believe it or not, from the GAO and the Office of Management and Budget. They provide some wonderful research, and a shout out to Lisa who works with me. She found some stuff and said, "Oh, this is gold." So we find out how much is really was lost, like in 22 and 23 in the market, which no one. But anyway, this is all backed up. But I document, and I got this, believe it or not, from the Investment Company Institute, which is the it's the lobbying arm for the nonprofit lobbying arm of the mutual fund industry. And I compared how many ETFs and new mutual funds were launched in the past 10 years and how many were shut down. And it's you couldn't believe it. There's something like 7,800 or something like that were launched in the past 10 years. And you know how many were shut down or merged out of existence, TD?
8,000.
Well, but like 6,000 or something like that.
So wow.
It's like 7,000 planes up and 6,000 of them crashed.
Yeah.
But you couldn't make this up. And I found it. I don't use their data.
Wow.
So a lot of funding, you know, stuff like that coming up in the next book. But it's been a slog, man. So, but, you know, I'm grateful that You know, it's essentially it has been roughed out as of yesterday, but I've been working on it.
So if people are looking for a book like maybe Pirates of Manhattan 1 or 2 or The Retirement Ruse, like where's the best place that they could find it?
Go to BarryJamesDyke.com. Yeah. And, you know, I release the stuff off of my website because Amazon wants too much. Jeff Bezos wants more billion. So I just the word of mouth for people like you, it's worked out well. And eventually I probably will go back on Amazon, but yeah, BarryJamesDyke.com. And,
I'll link that down below for everyone. So this way you can have a legit resource. And, you know, and I can't state it enough that it's very easy to read. It's compiled in a way that it's quickly accessible. And this way, when you're talking to your friends and family or somebody asks you a question, you can find it within minutes. And I mean, that's not just information, but it's put together in a way that a normal person can access it quickly. And, you know, that's very important in the day and age we live in. You know, if we're going to put out information, that it's easily accessible, it's easy to find. And this is always a pleasure, Barry. I appreciate you taking the time and investing it with our people. And I feel incredibly confident that, you know, I can at least point them to a resource with real information. And, you know, you can't start to fix anything until you recognize reality, right? Like you can't, if you don't know what the problem is, you can't fix it. And, you know, the solution is very basic. It's very, simple. It does require delayed gratification. It requires discipline. Nobody's going to make TikTok videos about that. It's not sexy. There aren't Lamborghinis and, private jets or anything like that, but this is the one thing I can tell you. There's an incredible amount of peace that comes with saving and being able to work together as a family to capitalize your own private banking system, to develop skills like real world skills that add real world value to the marketplace so that you can continue to generate an income. The most powerful thing that you have is your ability from a financial standpoint, as far as providing for your family, is your ability to generate income. And so if you have that ability and you continue to nurture and grow that ability, you should take just as much time and effort to study and learn how to capitalize all of that, to store it, to develop a warehouse of wealth. So then you can employ that capital, right, to get these returns so that, and then teach your children to do likewise so that each generation you're building, each generation is a building block and you're building upon the next generation and they're going forward. And the system has proven that the only way to do this is outside of the system. The system is rigged. It doesn't mean that there won't be opportunities right there, but what it means is that you have to educate yourself enough. You got to stop. Okay. We don't send our kids to public school, right? Why? Because we know that it's our responsibility to teach and raise and train our children. And people farm that out, right? And then they're like, oh, I can't believe there's like tranny story time. And I can't believe like they're teaching all this horrible stuff. And so, well, look, it wasn't important or you didn't know or whatever. Like maybe you didn't know and maybe you trusted the science or you trusted the social planners or you thought the Prussian model was like the way to go. Maybe you thought you wanted your child to be a widget in the communist machine, right? But once you know, right? Once you know that that's not the way to go, what are you going to do? Now, it's going to require your time. It's going to require your talent. It's going to require your treasure, right? But there aren't any cheat codes. There aren't any shortcuts, right? So we have to start where we're at. We have to recognize reality, and then we have to progress and we have to move forward with the facts on the table. And what you've done, Bear, is in your litany of books, Pirates of Manhattan 1, Pirates of Manhattan 2, Fixed Income, Retirement Ruse, you know, you keep compiling, all you're doing is compiling the facts. You're pointing out what is obviously happening that the majority of people just refuse to accept. You show them the information, you show them the data, and they just refuse to accept it. And what is going to happen? You know, I have a really good friend that has a large amount of money in the market. And, you know, what should I do with it? And I'm like, look, man, this is absolutely going to pop. I'm not saying when, right? I'm not saying when. So if you want to be greedy and you want to extract the last penny, you're going to be beat. Like, not only are you not going to get that last penny, you're not going to get 50% of what you have right now. Right. And I would say from my experiences and from what I've seen in other market reversals, that is a undeniable fact. I'm not saying when it's going to happen. I'm not saying where or why it's going to happen, but it's obviously going to happen. And so plan accordingly. Don't act like all of a sudden like, oh, I didn't know. Nobody told me, hey, there's a truck coming. It's on the other side of the hill. I just saw it. It's going 85 miles an hour. If you are standing in the middle of the street on this rise, you will get hit. Okay. Well, when? I don't know, but you should move. You should.
Yeah.
You should
get out of the road. That's, you know, and it's so true what you're saying. And, well, I'm so grateful that guys like you are willing to up and speak the truth. And, you know, cause it's not just, I couldn't do this because of the money. A lot of people said, Barry, just shut the heck up and, you know, go, you know, do your plane, make a crap load of money. I can't do that. I mean, and the thing is that it's you, and you, the thing is, you can't be motivated and do something like that, like this, if it's just about the money. It's too hard.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. You just get attacked and maligned and belittled, but the truth is the truth. It's incontrovertible. So it's great to stand on the truth. We want to warn people. We want to try to help people. And the best way that I know how to do that is provide them with information. And once they have the information, you know, you now have the information, you're an adult, you have a brain. So now you need nobody. I can't do it for you. Oh, here, I'm going to give you all my money. You do it. No, that it doesn't work like that. Why did you work so hard and do all that stuff and be disciplined and save and set aside, and then you're going to delegate that to somebody? That's the definition of insanity. That's crazy. And it's always a pleasure, Barry. Thanks so much for the information. I will link barryjamesdyke.com down below for all y'all that are looking for the information. That has been awesome. I'm going to send you out some coffee. We love and appreciate y'all. And that's why we're doing this. I'm not making any money doing this, but if you do appreciate what we're doing, go on over to thetexasboys.com and show your support over there. And we will see y'all on the next scheduled deprogram.